We're going to take the next little bit of time here to talk briefly about religious liberty and to just ask these men to help us to understand a little bit of what they're doing, but also what are some of the current challenges that we're facing as a nation. And from my left, we have Todd Starnes with Todd Starnes Radio, who really spends every day making us aware of areas of need and serves as a tremendous helper in really gathering information and trying to be a partner with us. And he's available as well to come alongside of churches and be a help to you. He'll be available after this session if you have questions also. Dr. David Gibbs is the president of the Christian Law Association. They have served thousands and thousands of churches and most of our churches. How many of you in some way, shape, or form, a phone call, a lawsuit, mitigation of some problem, CLA has helped you over the years? Let me see your hands. And look at that. Isn't that amazing? And so thank the Lord for CLA. And then my good friend, Pastor Mike Creed, with Awake America Ministries, and really the focus of that, Capital Connection, connecting God's men to the elected officials and getting us engaged like we spoke about yesterday. And so would you welcome these three friends here with us today?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Well, gentlemen, we have tried to be very clear about the mission of the church, declaring the gospel. And yet, we're living in a day where not only are men's hearts resistant, not only has the God of this world blinded their eyes, but we have people oftentimes in elected officials and zoning officials and folks in the media who are doing everything they can to hinder the work of God. And so I think to start off with, before we get into some of the specific issues, I'd just like to ask each of you to take a minute or two and explain how your life's work is dedicated to helping God's men get the work accomplished. And so specifically, what your ministry's focusing on to help us with making the gospel known and also crossing some of the hurdles that we face in the ministry. Brother Creed, why don't you go first and tell us about Capital Connection.
11 years ago, in Washington, D.C., I was just a pastor outside of D.C. I've been pastoring, senior pastor, 27 years, 37 years in the ministry there. Grew up in the area, going to the White House, doing different things as a result of members of our church, but never stepping inside of the buildings. A group of pastors comes. They come to town, invite me out, and we begin to meet. We meet with John Ashcroft and several leaders, and they all are getting on a plane to leave, and we're having a meal, and they said, Creed, we think you need to do this. And I said, do what? And they said, you just need to start visiting on Capitol Hill. And I said, I don't know what to do. And they said, well, we'll help you. I had several men step in. They set up meetings. I had no clue what to do. And so I just treated it like a bus route. I asked the church members if they'd let me have Wednesday and Thursday to do door-to-door on Capitol Hill.
Amen.
And I went in there and just started meeting folks. I met some right folks, and they would call me. One man called me and said, hey, could you come down real quick in 30 minutes? We have the young guns coming in that are going to be elected in the next election. Republicans weren't in at that time. A man walked up to me named Marco Rubio. He said, who are you? And I said, I'm Pastor Creed, Independent Baptist, and down here just trying to help leaders, encourage leaders. He goes, well, I'm running for Senate. And he said, I'm in a lot of Independent Baptist churches down where I am. And it was just an eye-opening situation for me. It's been 11 years down there. God has given us the opportunity just to go door-to-door. Recently, we've become a 501c3 under Independent Baptist Church, a ministry of Independent Baptist Church. We have a 501c4. Brother Brad Cranston is here, and he works with capitals around the states. And he's been a blessing. Brother Brad Wells planted a church down on Capitol Hill. He is a light.
Amen.
His church is a light. Brother Tykert has been a blessing to him. And then we have several folks that are here. I have pastors that I've been able to just go in. Awake America our group in on Capitol Hill right now are specifically interested in seeing leaders saved.
Amen.
Dr. Gibbs said, if a leader gets saved, it changes the vote.
Amen.
And so their specific thing is just to get in. But we have a 501c4, which we want to help and be a watchman on the wall
when
for
the
churches
coming down.
When the laws are coming down.
And tell the men and the ladies about Capital Connection. When is it going to be held, and what is the goal of that event?
Right. We have a card on our table if you go by. It's March 14th through 16th. We are planning on having it. Last time it was a virtual, but God really blessed. It's been exciting. We are planning, if we cannot get in the buildings, getting a building down in Capitol Hill and having the leaders come out to us is our approach. But really, we go in and we pray with the leaders. We don't tell them, you know, we have sewer running through the back of our church property, or we don't go in with veins sticking out of our necks. We go in to encourage them, mm-hmm. and to pray with them and give them gospel literature. It's been amazing. The first time that we went, we printed the Aiken Bible. It was the first Bible printed on American soil beside the Indian Bible, and we went in and gave every senator and every representative, and it just shook Capitol Hill. They were just amazed. And I think it was Feinstein that was interested. We had to get approval for the Bibles, mm-hmm. and she gave us the proof for the Bibles and also New Testaments and tracts.
And so, I had the privilege of witnessing to her chief of staff.
Right.
And he did not get saved, but the whole idea is to be salt and light. And there's something about visiting your congressman in his or her office, congresswoman, and just being there as a prayer partner and just saying, we're just here to know how to pray for you more effectively. And I want you to go by Brother Creed's table and learn how you can be connected in this way to your elected officials. And that's kind of what Capital Connection does. Brother Gibbs, we pretty much know what CLA does, but give a word of testimony about your heart to serve the churches.
We get the privilege of defending God's people as a ministry. As it started with my wife 51 years ago, she said, do you think God could use you as a lawyer to have a ministry? And we were on our knees about ready to pray, and I remember I said, honey, I don't think God even likes lawyers all that much. Let alone wants to have a ministry with one. I said, what'd you have in mind? She said, well, if a pastor, a church, a layman, a businessman, a school teacher, someone serving was ever challenged for the biblical faith legally, could we tell God we'd defend them and never make a charge? And I said, never make a charge? I said, do you have any idea? They didn't teach us that in law school. When I went to law school, I took charge 101, charge 102. And I said, now you're talking. And she said, well, could we just, and I asked, I said, who in the world, this is 1969, who in the world do you know is in trouble for the faith legally? She said, I don't know anybody. But she said, if it happens, could we just tell God we're available? And I said, yeah, we can do that. That was a Thursday. The next Tuesday, a pastor called. I'm working for this large law firm as a litigator. He said, I understand you're a Christian. I said, I am. He said, well, I think I've been sued for the faith. I said, well, I'm dead positive you're wrong. Bring me your stuff. I read his papers, and I said, man, you've been sued for the faith, all right. That's right. He said, well, will you defend me? I said, I'd be honored to. And he said, now, we don't have any money. He said, I don't know how we'll pay you. I said, well, it's interesting. We have a ministry that does this. This is exactly how it started. And he said, you do? He said, what's its name? I said, it don't have a name. He said, well, how long have you had it? I said, since last Thursday evening. Here it is Tuesday at lunch. And he said, you know, would I be your first case? I said, you would. He said, well, I'd be honored. Little did I know his lawsuit would go on 13 and a half years and gave us the right to have Christian schools. That lawsuit went up and down to the Supreme Court, back and forth, sideways. And now last year, we had over 120,000 calls asking for help. And we get the privilege of serving God's people. Thank you. Thank you for letting us serve. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Gibbs, for serving. I appreciate it. Todd, you've shared your testimony maybe once before, but how many of you have never heard Todd Starn speak? Let me see your hands, and maybe the first time I meet him. So just quickly share how you got saved and tell your testimony up until what you're doing now and how you want to be a blessing to these folks.
Pastor, thank you. I grew up in a non-Christian home. My father was an electrician, my mom a housewife. My father was invited to a revival meeting at an independent Baptist church in Memphis, Tennessee. He went to that revival meeting, and immediately he walked the aisle of the church when the invitation was offered and accepted Christ.
Amen.
My mother, who grew up in the Catholic faith tradition, she came to church and she got saved. And not too long after that, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
It happened in the summertime in Memphis, and we had a little place called Byhalia, a great suburb. There's a Baptist tabernacle out there in the woods where they would have the Southern gospel singing. And I got baptized, a pastor, in a little pond there in Byhalia, Mississippi.
Amen.
And grew up, and of course, Mom and Dad were in charge of the bus ministry. I got to tag along. I was in charge of the donuts, and as you can see, a lot of the kids didn't get the donuts. But it was a blessing.
Tell us about your radio show, Todd, and how they can tune in, and tell them you know, how you want them to interact, or if they have legal issues and such, what you try to do.
So I spent 15 years at Fox News Channel in New York City, and early on, I noticed that a lot of the assignments coming to me involved cases of religious liberty. And over the years, that really became the focus and the emphasis of what I did at Fox News, which was really telling our stories to the rest of the nation. There was a study done many years ago about how many Christians actually work in the national media, and they determined about 2% of the media consider themselves to be Christian. Now, out of that 2%, about 98% called themselves Catholic. Now, when you drill down even further, it was just 0.1% would identify as an evangelical believer in America's newsrooms. And that's a problem. And that's why they don't understand who we are, because we don't have many of us working in the national newsrooms. And so that really became an issue for me as I reached out to Christian colleges and universities trying to find those young people who could work in the national media. Well, as you know, after 15 years at Fox News, they decided I was a little too conservative and too Christian, and they did not renew my contract. So I launched my own media company. Now, Pastor, it's really interesting. When you leave Fox News, normally that's it. You're kaput. That's the end of the career. You're working at McDonald's. But something very interesting happened. The Lord stepped in and said, "You are not finished yet." And now our platform is larger than what it was when I was at Fox News Channel. Our podcast gets 1 million downloads a month. My national radio show on 115 radio stations, and my commentary is now on more than 700 radio stations around the country. And what we do is very simple. We share our stories with the rest of the country. We come alongside folks like Dr. Gibbs when they're defending Christians in the courthouse, and we defend them in the court of public opinion by sharing those stories. So it is an honor to be able to serve you. We have a wonderful free resource for you, several, including our podcast and our newsletter, and we provide you with news and information you are not going to get in the mainstream media. And our team of journalists, we have 30 staff members working at Starnes Media Group. They work very hard to serve the body of Christ.
Amen. And I want you to thank Todd for his ministry. Todd has a booth also out at the Walther Center, and I hope you'll go by and pick up his channel listing and learn how to be a part of his email and such, and just thank him for what he's doing. Todd is a member of Lancaster Baptist Church. He's out most Sundays and has been in several of our churches and just does a great job speaking to America's Christian history And he might even bring along his new book. Tell him the title of it, Todd.
By the way, I do send him my tithe, like Dr.
Yeah, I know
says.
You do. I
just wanted to make sure. The new book, now, I normally write political books and culture war books, but I wanted to write a fun devotion book, something I wouldn't get a death threat writing. And so the new book, my grandmother, sweet grandmother, was a Methodist, and so they always had the Our Daily Bread devotion. So I wanted to write one, and ours is called Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl. So.
And he'll have that available, I think, out in the lobby after this session. So be sure to stop by and see Todd. Turning just for a few minutes here to some of the situations we're facing, Dr. Gibbs, I'd like to ask you first, what would you say are the types of threats right now that you're seeing that are most concerning, whether it's legislation at the national level or something else, that we can pray about, if nothing else, for this moment?
That I would strongly encourage you to fervently pray about. Number one, we are being inundated with cases wanting to prohibit giving the gospel to children. And what they're saying is to give the gospel to children is child abuse. And we have the right to take children away from parents who allow it to happen. Now, it's very artfully stated. You cannot have a child believing that they can incur the displeasure of deity. To tell a child they won't go to heaven unless they believe like you do, they say that is per se child abuse. Now, we first heard that 30 years ago, but it never gained traction until about 15 years ago. Within the last 5 years, it's mushroomed. And so we are coming to the place. And when we talk to parents, we say, would you still be willing to have your child in a gospel-preaching Sunday school if it means that they would try to take your child away from you for doing that? The parents back way up. This is something we must not lose the right. I believe it's child abuse not to give a child the gospel. It's completely backwards. So that's number one. Number two, the right to be able to go out and publicly give your faith. Now, let me tell you where they're at. If you'll go out there and simply say, well, this is what we believe, but there's lots of good beliefs out there, and we believe religion should be a smorgasbord, they'll largely leave you alone. Not totally, but largely. But if you go out there and you say, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are getting inundated with cases on that. And so we've got to be very clear with our witness. Please understand, they want that witness halted. The devil hates it. We've told everybody the only hope America has is the gospel and the local church. If you think the next election's the hope of America, you need to go with Brother Creed to the Hill and see what is really there. We have got to protect the right to freely give the gospel.
Amen.
Here's what troubles me when we do these lawsuits. The Jehovah's Witnesses and other groups send me thank you letters. And they say, we know your people won't do this much, but we do it a lot, so thank you. We should be the ones that are out there doing it with great passion. The third one we've got to have, and boy, this is critical, is the right for the church to meet. Now, this is something that we've just gone through with COVID and everything. Please understand, when they say there are things that are critical that have to stay open and the church is not essential, and we pressed and pressed to get the president to say it was essential, that it was critical, and only at the very last moment did he come through on that. The church, we don't meet because we have a constitution. We meet because we have a Bible.
Amen.
And the Bible commands us to meet, and we must not lose that right.
Amen.
Please keep this in mind. In foreign lands where they kill you if they catch you going to church, they put you to death, the people go. I wonder how many would show up here if it meant they could kill you. Dr. Chappell and I were in China at an illegal home church. You'll remember this. And a young lady walked up and said, I'm going to sing before you preach. Could I sing two songs? And we said, sure. And the pastor came up and he said, let me explain why. They caught her dad a year ago and killed him for going to church. A month ago, they caught her mom and her brother and killed them. And she knows they're on to her. And she thinks this might be her last service. So she wants to sing twice. Don't you ever take for granted the privilege of getting to go to church.
Amen.
That's under attack.
Amen. Todd, just as you're fielding calls, would you tell us two or three of the things you're hearing that are most concerning? And maybe comment on is it the Equity Act? Is that the term of the bill in Congress as well?
Sure. When the pandemic first broke out, I was still living in New York City. And so I got to see all of this up close and personal. For me, the greatest threat was to America was not necessarily the pandemic. It was our response. It was how quickly our fellow citizens were willing to give up, surrender their civil liberties for the sake of a public health emergency. And as we know, many of those rights have not been returned to us just yet, and I wonder if they will be willingly. So that is a grave concern. Early on in the pandemic, we saw churches being shut down all over America. But what concerned me was not that they were shutting down churches in Berkeley or San Francisco. They were shutting down churches in Mississippi. And in one instance, they actually showed up. The mayor of a small town sent the police department to a small Baptist church. The church members were gathered in their cars holding a drive-in church service. And every single person in that parking lot was given a ticket, a fine, for attending church. Also in Simpson County, Mississippi, a little girl showed up to school wearing a face mask with the words, "Jesus loves you," on the face mask. That little girl was ordered to remove that mask because it violated the Constitution of the United States. And that case was being handled by Alliance Defending Freedom. So those are some issues that truly concern me. A couple of hours ago, I was reading that the White House is advancing with a plan that would allow people to be fired from their jobs if they claim religious exemption from the vaccine. This is just coming down over the past couple of hours on the news wires. So that is going to be a big, big battle as people who, and again, I have had the vaccine, one dose of it, so I'm not anti-vax. What I am anti is anti-forcing you to violate your conscience. You're grown adults. You have the ability as an American citizen to make those decisions. And so those are some of the issues that we are following. The war on religious liberty is grave. And Pastor, if I might just read something, which will take 10
Please.
Seconds.
Yeah.
My book came out in 2019, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. Many, many conservatives said this book was outrageous and filled with hyperbole. I just want to read to you what I wrote back in 2019. And you think about where we are right now in this country. Imagine America where it's against the law to pledge allegiance to the flag. Imagine an America where churches have been shut down and pastors thrown in jail. Imagine an America where free speech has been outlawed, freedom of assembly abolished, a nation overrun by political correctness and identity politics. That's the kind of America we're going to get if the left has its
That's right.
way.
That's right.
That was 2019, and look where we are now, Pastor.
That's right. That's right. We must pray and we must declare the gospel. And Brother Creed, I'd like you to take just a moment here and give us one or two thoughts with respect to engaging our elected officials. It's not necessarily all about an immediate impression. Sometimes it's about cultivating a relationship. Give us a few thoughts on what you've seen effective in seeing these folks come to Christ.
Right now, what is happening on Capitol Hill, we were not able to get on to Capitol Hill. There was a fence around the Capitol. In fact, they put the fence back up just a few weeks ago and took it down. I heard it was $1.8 million a day to keep the fence up. But we could not get in. Brother Brad Wells, different folks, Aaron Cruz, individuals were trying to get in. We as a group just began to do virtual. And senators, representatives, and they were doing virtual meetings with our fellows, doing Bible studies. Some would say, I'll give you 5 minutes, and it would end up 45 minutes. Then they began to let us meet with them, but they would come to the, they would have to come down, they have to come down to the door right now, and you have to be walked into the building. It used to be freedom, and I think the whole thing is they don't want people in there messing up what they're trying to do. And so now they you have to walk, you have to make an appointment, and they come down to the door and get you, but and usher you in, and it's taking time for their staff and things, so it's kind of disruptive, but we still have the privilege to speak to them, to pray with them, to spend time with them. As I said, Brother Aaron Cruz, Brother Brad Wells, they'll engage them for 5 minutes, and they'll say, stay, and let us, give us some more time. I mean, it's been exciting to see what is happening, and I believe that God is still doing things. I was able to be with Mr. Garcia, Representative Garcia, in a meeting last week, and we're larger than that small group.
That's right.
That is trying to do what they're doing in the country.
Amen.
They're a small group. We're the majority, but the problem is we're silent. And so I want to challenge Christians to get in the fray. How do you affect them? I don't specifically think that it has to be in Washington, D.C. It
sure
begins in your city, your state,
district,
and in your capital with your mayor, with your county executive. We have a pastor here, Brother Shutt from Pennsylvania. I was able to do a meeting at his place, and boy, he has folks that just got on the school boards, and they're in a multi-area, and they were in different areas, and their church is on fire, for the Lord got with their representative, and he was reelected. He didn't think he was going to be reelected.
Amen.
And the door is open for us to minister to them now.
Visit these people when you get home, and leave them a gift. Remember their birthday. I send a birthday card to all of our elected officials, and cultivate those relationships and lead them to Christ. I'm going to ask Brother Edgar Fagali to come and take the microphone up here. Brother Fagali, if you'll come. Brother Fagali has given his life to serving nations that have been obliterated and hindered by totalitarian governments throughout the Middle East. He could tell all of us what happens in these situations. And he himself has been shot at, and we have his life story published by Striving Together Publications. You can receive it in the store. But Brother Fagali, I'd like you to close this session with a word of prayer for America, because we need to stay free, if for no other reason, to get the gospel out. And I appreciate your faithfulness in preaching to the Arabic-speaking world, but would you pray for America that our freedoms would remain intact, that the gospel might be declared with freedom and authority?
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we are very grateful because you did not only give us your word, but you gave us the power, you gave us the Holy Spirit. And in the early days, fishermen, bunch of fishermen and farmers turned the world upside down for Christ. And Lord, today as we look at our country, our nation, we see that darkness is moving very quickly over the land. But as we see darkness moving very quickly, we cannot help but remember your promises. And Lord, thank you because you said, upon this rock I will build my church. Mm-hmm. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Lord, I thank you because you are with us all the way until the end. And Lord, thank you because he who is with us is greater in us, is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Lord, sometimes crisis is needed in order to wake us up. Lord, as my brother said, we are a majority and they are a minority. And Lord, the majority has been sleeping, and we have been sleeping for a very long time. Maybe you allow crisis and tribulation, storms to come our way as you allowed this, so that we can wake up and learn to fight. Lord, you allowed your disciples to go into the lake because the storm in the lake was a lesson to them, helped them to know you more. And Lord, in the middle of the crisis, we can learn more about you as my brethren in the Middle East are learning. Mm-hmm. The harder and the fiercer the battle may be, the closer we can get to you. And Lord, when you said, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it, you told us that the church is weak. And you told us, but hold your word and never denied your name. And Lord, when we are weak, we learn to trust in you. As your servant said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Lord, I pray for our leaders. I pray for the officials. I pray for the people in our nation that they will wake up. And Lord, I pray for revival to spread across the land. Lord, may our revival begin with us here, yes, who are in this meeting. And Lord, may we always remember that your name must be exalted forever and ever, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are Lords, and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you for allowing us to get together here. Help us, dear Lord, to move forward with a desire to change this country, bring it back to Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.